Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jordan with the Laundromat Resource Podcast, and I'm pumped you're here today because today we have an incredible show. You are in for a treat today. You're in for a treat. We've got Joe Ebanks on the show, and he literally, by the time this comes out, will have 5 laundromats in 7 months. He just got it in the business 7 months ago, and we talk through why he's doing that, how he's doing that, how he's feeling about all of this. And we're going to do a lot of detail about this. It's incredible. And not only is his story and what he's doing incredible, he is incredible. You're going to be just blown away by this episode. That's a guarantee. I will refund every single penny if you're not blown away by this. So look forward to that. And in fact, I strategically changed today's fast lane tip, which is not really a tip, but today's fast lane tip, for lack of a better word, because of how much I think you're going to be blown away by this episode. So today's fast lane tip is this. It's actually more of a fast lane request. All right. And the fast lane request is, if you have listened to this podcast or watched this YouTube video or this YouTube channel more than once, or even if this is your first one and you have gotten some sort of value out of this, it's helped you in some way, or you've been inspired in some way, probably by a guest, probably not by me, but by a guest, the biggest thing that you could do to support is free and easy to do. Can you leave us a rating and review on wherever you're listening to this? Or if you're watching on YouTube, throw us a subscribe and a like, maybe a comment, and tell Joe how awesome he is. That stuff just helps us out over here to help more people. And that's what this is all about, right? This whole platform of Laundromat Resources, helping people achieve financial freedom through laundromat ownership. And we're doing that together. It's not something I'm doing. It's something we're doing together. So the best way that we can help this sort of community is to leave a rating and review wherever you're listening, or if you're on YouTube, you know, subscribe, like, tell Joe how awesome he is in the comments, and let other people know about it. So appreciate that. That's not really a fast lane tip that directly helps you, but indirectly it helps you a lot because it helps us keep rolling and doing more cool stuff. All right, that's enough of that. We have got to jump in with Joe Ebanks right after a word from our sponsors, because again, your mind is going to be blown today. You're going to enjoy every second of it.
What's up, laundromat owners? This is Gabe from BMR with today's quick marketing tip. Let's explore a modern marketing gem that's literally right underneath your nose, creating an aesthetically pleasing space that encourages customers to share their experience at your laundromat on their social media. In the digital age, the atmosphere of your laundromat is not just about customer comfort, it's a powerful tool for organic marketing. The visual appeal of your business is more important than ever. When customers walk into a laundromat that's clean, well-organized, and visually striking, they're motivated to share their experience on their social media platforms. Imagine your laundromat with vibrant murals, quirky decor, or cozy, inviting layout. Your setting doesn't just make the chore of doing laundry more enjoyable, it makes it worthy of a share on their favorite platforms. Every photo shared by a customer is a personal endorsement of your laundromat, reaching an audience you may never tap into otherwise. So in the digital era, it's what we call a personal word of mouth endorsement. And the beauty of it is completely free. No spending on ads. Your customers are promoting through celebrating your unique space on their social networks. Their sharing fosters a sense of community. When people see their friends and family enjoying a mundane task like laundry in an inviting space, it piques their interest. It turns your laundromat into a local hotspot. So let's reimagine our spaces. Let's invest in decor that stands out and creates a vibe that's unmistakably you. By doing so, you transform your laundromat from a mere service provider into a social hub, driving business through the door, not just for the quality of your service, but also for the uniqueness of your atmosphere. For more free information about creating an aesthetically pleasing space, visit us at buildwithbmr.com/visuals.
Joe, you're over there representing the East Coast, and I am pumped that you're here on the show. How you doing today, man?
Thanks for having us, Jordan. Yeah, we're on the East Coast, Tampa, Florida. Woo!
I mean, it's not the best coast, but, you know, it's a cool coast.
Hey, everybody has to have their opinion.
That's right. That's right. Hey, man, I'm excited about today. I'm excited to jump into this with you. Why don't we kick it off with who are you? Give us a little bit about your background and then weave that narrative into how you ended up with laundromats.
Okay, sure. So my name is Joe Ebanks. Myself and my wife, Lisa Ebanks, real estate investors, entrepreneurs for the last 25 years. We've always been looking for something else besides real estate as a vehicle. Cause though we love it, we've fixed and flipped, man, hundreds of homes, sold thousands. We own apartment complexes and all other kind of things. But, you know, the market kind of shifted in the last, you know, year and a half. You know, interest rates went up on real estate, and we were just looking for a different vehicle, that we could use. Never even considered a laundromat. I'll be 100% honest with you. But we were dealing with a lady who we were trying to buy her house. And she says to me, well, Joe, you know, sorry, because we built a great relationship, great rapport. And she was like, hey, sorry, but I sold the house, but I have a laundromat for sale. And immediately she said that, it was like, bing, a little light went off over my head. I was like, okay, let's go check this thing out. So we go check it out. We sit down with her. We talk. She shows us the whole thing, how it runs, the whole operation. I mean, to this day, she's still a great help. I talk to her at least every week or two. And I said to my wife, I'm like, I want to buy this. And she was like, why? And we ran the numbers and we did the ROI. I was like, look, I can make better money off the ROI off of this than if we owned the house and paid the same amount of money for it. So I showed her the numbers. I was like, look, okay, house pays us, you know, $600 to $800 a month in cash flow after all expenses. I was like, this laundromat will net us about $25,000 to $3,000 a month. And she was like, okay, I'm sold, let's do it. So from there, we just talked to the lady. We were able to work out some owner finance terms, and bang, bang, boom, in 30 days, we were laundromat owners.
That's pretty wild. I've said a lot, you know, for a long time, like I love real estate investing. I'm a real estate investor too, but the average real estate deal can't touch the average laundromat deal when it comes to cash flow, returns there. So, you know, funny that you stumbled into it through trying to find a real estate investment.
Fell right into it.
That's all. Yeah. Almost kind of like tripped over it. Right.
Bingo. That's
all right. Exactly, so you found it through this.
Not looking for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you found this lady who was selling this laundromat and you liked the numbers and, you ended up buying it from her. What was that experience like? You know, and did you do a whole lot of due diligence? What was all that sort of early before you actually owned it process like?
Yeah. So, you know, I knew the process of like buying an apartment complex or a house and doing the due diligence. So a lot of that information that I already knew was transferable. So I knew I needed an inspection, but I was like, okay, what do I inspect? So I go on Google, I go on YouTube and I find you. And I say, okay, well, let me download this list of things I need to do. And so we went through that whole process, you know, got the place inspected, got the machines inspected. But one thing I found out, you know, that a lot of these people that own these, cause that was an older lady. And she just didn't want it anymore. And she really wasn't doing anything. So I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to want to move forward with this, I'm just going to kind of have to accept some of the things that are not right with it because I got a good deal. So I just went back and renegotiated the numbers with her and got her price down and said, okay, we're just going to have to take care of that stuff on our own. And that's what we ended up doing.
That's good. I mean, that's similar to how like a real estate transaction goes, right? You get some stuff inspected and based on what you find, you might need to renegotiate a little bit, here or there. Exactly. and get it down. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Were you guys nervous about getting into this thing or were you like, oh, let's go full send $2,500, $3,000.
Yeah. When we originally did it, first of all, like the lady, you know, well, not just her, a lot of older people in the business, I find that one, they don't have a business plan. Two, they don't have a standard operating procedures. So we had to make and create all this stuff for our business, for the laundromat. I mean, there was no social media. There was no website. There was no Google presence. I'm like, how did these people make all this money for the last 20 years and not have any of this stuff? But that's why this is a sustainable business. And you can make a lot of those, well, let's not say errors, but you could do a lot of those things and still be very profitable. So I'm like, okay, so what if I actually did all these things? And so the first, 90, 120 days in that first math that we had, I mean, man, we were able to take numbers from like $4,000 a month. And I mean, got it all up to $10,000 in like 4 months. And we're not done yet because we still haven't had a chance to implement everything.
That's wild. And it's all just that basic stuff too, right? It's like, hey, let's get online and let's let people know we're around and let's have some standard operating procedures, right? Let's have a plan that we're going to execute on.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's not just blue sky it. Let's just have a plan.
Well, and I mean, and kudos to you for one. I mean, that seems really obvious to do, but it's not obvious to a lot of people. Yeah. And it's not how a lot of people operate their businesses, right? You're treating it like a business. And because you're treating it like a business,
correct,
it's treating you well also, right?
Exactly. And,
yeah. And one of the prevailing messages out there is, hey, listen, this is easy. You don't have to do anything, right? This business is passive and all that. And, you know, while it can be relatively passive compared to a lot of other businesses, man, the more you treat it like a real business, the better it's going to be for you, for sure. You're starting to see that.
100%. I mean, people would say all the time, this is a passive business. And I'm like, look, get that out your head. It's semi-passive once you have everything in process and then working properly and you have everything set up. Then you can come by your 2 or 3 days a week, whatever you do, and check your change and do all that. But if you have a business where you have actually like run one of our stores, we do wash, dry, fold. I mean, you have employees that are there every day and you just have to treat the business as such. If you treat it like a business and you put the proper systems and processes in place, then bam, then I mean, you're off to the races. I mean, just simple things like, I mean, we added a POS system, which they never had. All they took was cash. I mean, a lot of the customers are like, oh, I'm so glad that you take, you know, credit cards now. I'm like, yeah, we take credit, debit, Cash App, Apple Pay, EBT. We take everything.
Yeah.
I was like,
you want to pay us?
I was like,
we'll let you.
Yeah, yeah.
However you want.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll let you pay us. We'll let you pay us 100%. And we kept the quarters. I know a lot of people like to get rid of that. I'm like, no, we're keeping the quarters too. Whatever way you want to pay us, we'll accept it. But I mean, that those simple things, like just adding like the POS system has been a game changer for us. And customers, I mean, I have told us already how they appreciate it. And we go in just like how I used to do a house. We rehab it. We go in, we pressure wash it, we paint it, we clean it up. Depending on what it needs, we added some TVs, we added some lights. You know, one of the stores we actually enclosed because it was an open mat, and we enclosed it and put AC in there. People love that. So, I mean, it's just really trying to figure out, you know, what your demographics call for. I mean, because we're a big component of that. We look at, you know, the demographics, psychographics of the area, and we try to cater to them. And by doing that, I think that's what has made us successful so far.
Okay. There's a lot to unpack there. Okay. So let me back up for a second. First of all, you mentioned open laundromat. So why don't you tell people where you're at so that they're like, wait, what are you talking about? Open laundromat?
Sure.
Where are you at?
Sure.
Where are you located?
Sure. So our first laundromat, well, we're located in Tampa, Florida. And our first laundromat was the Armenia Laundromat, which is located right on Armenia, which is 2104 on North Armenia Avenue right here in Tampa. That particular laundromat, is the laundromat that was originally open, had no doors. I mean, I'd see like cats walking in through there at night and, you know, the homeless people would go in there and grab a bench. I'm like, oh, this is cozy. But you know, it's Florida. So, I mean, it maybe gets cold here 3 months a year and the rest of the time, I mean, it's hot. When I bought it in October, September, I mean, it was still really hot. Like with the dryers going, I had a little thermometer in it. It was like 120 degrees in that freaking thing. Ooh, so we were like, okay, let's enclose this thing. So we enclosed it, put some glass doors up, fixed the glasses that were broken, and we immediately put in an air conditioning system. And by doing that, man, we're able to keep that place in like a nice 78. We're not trying to super cool it, but 78, where it's worth, it's withstandable while people are in there and they're not sitting outside in their car or throwing trash in the parking lot. We put up some TVs. We got, you know, a little sound system going in there so people can occupy their time while they're in there. We got the Wi-Fi going for guests as well. So they can occupy their time while they're in there. And now they also see all our advertising. Hey, wash, dry, fold, you know, pick up behind yourself for your neighbor, you know, all those little things like that. So that's just a pleasant experience. And I just felt like that community was being underserved because there was nothing in the area like that. And man, I get so many compliments, when I'm there from some of the customers. Like, you guys have done a great job. This is awesome. Thank you for the air. We don't mind you up the prices, but it's been a great experience, and to be able to cater to that demographic and give them a nice, because like our main three things are clean, affordable, and safe. And we installed a really nice camera system in there that we can go in, zoom in. You know, it's 4K. We can turn it around, so we know what's going on at all times. And we don't have one of our employees there.
Dude, that's awesome. And I think that's hilarious that it's like, dude, you could probably put the prices wherever you want if the air's blowing cold, you know. You're like, man, I got to go sweat and do my laundry, you know, or I can go to this air conditioning one. Like, listen, I'm going to pay more. I don't care. Not at all.
Yeah, dude, the prices were like super ridiculously low. I'm like, how did this lady make any money?
Yeah.
But yeah. They have them okay. So long, they're like, it doesn't matter.
A lot of times people are like, I don't even know the difference. And the people who do know the difference are the ones that go somewhere else, you know, yeah, or they don't have the opportunity to go somewhere else because they're walking.
Correct.
When did you buy your first one?
We bought our first one at the end of September of last year.
Okay. And how many do you have now?
We have three, and we're closing on two more next week.
Oh my gosh. You are going like 1,000 miles an hour. I love this. All right. So we got to talk about that too. That scaling that you got going on. Listen, I know that you're not going this alone. You kind of briefly mentioned how your wife responded when you're like, you know, I want to buy this laundromat. How does she feel about the laundromats?
So, initially she was like, not another business, Joe, until I showed her the returns, but she was like, okay. And we did our research and she was like, if we're going to do this, we're going to make a real go at this. She's like, this could totally be a whole nother income stream and you can like pay a car every month. And then she saw the numbers. She's like, maybe we could pay a mortgage or we could get another property. And I was like, yeah, that's what this offers. So once we dove into it and I got the okay, I mean, we just went full throttle. We really got a lot of learning lessons from our very first laundromat, which really allowed us to build out kind of a robust standard operating procedure. It also allowed us to build out, you know, a whole like purchasing manual and things that we need to do and check for and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then we learned additionally after the second one, and we just keep adding to it. Okay, well, we didn't do this the last time. This is a little bigger. Let's make sure we add this to the list, and we add this to the list, and then it just kind of keeps growing from there. And finally got to the third one, it's like, okay, we have a system now that works, and we're just repeating it. So like the first three masks that we own, we got owner financing from the owners. And we were able to get a way better interest rate than is advertised out here right now. And also by doing that, it also, you know, allowed us to put less money down to now reinvest into the laundromat by fixing them up, and being able to market them to get the ROI up as soon as possible. It's just like anything else, you know, you have to prove that it works and it works multiple times in order for it to actually push up your value. And now I know from the first laundromat that we bought till now, we've significantly increased the value of that laundromat from what we purchased it at.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, you mentioned the magic word, which is seller financing, because everybody, you know, real estate, laundromats, it doesn't matter. Everybody wants seller financing, right? It's that mythical unicorn of investing. Sure. So Can you tell me, like, how did you determine that you could do seller financing? How did you find seller financing deals? How did you negotiate those? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, no, absolutely. So once again, my real estate skills are transferable, and I've bought tons of deals, you know, meaning real estate, through seller financing. And I just kind of know, you know, what to say to these owners to find out if they are even interested. And I bring it up right from the initial conversation, because then I know where I stand and I know where they stand. Because if you go out here now to some of these companies that finance these type of businesses, the rates are 10% or higher. Mm-hmm. And that just kind of really kills your cash on cash when you're looking at one of these deals. Not to mention, you know, insurance is a little bit higher right here and right now in Florida. I don't know how it is around the rest of the country. That's another thing that's really high right now. So when you factor in all these numbers, the only option sometimes when these sellers are asking this, I don't want to say, let's not say ridiculous price, but let's just say above average price.
A lot of ridiculous prices offer out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So I will say, all right, these ridiculous prices.
You can say.
The only way it works is if they offer you owner financing. So I just tell people, look, I understand the price that you want, and I'll be happy to give it to you if you give me the terms that I want. So we determine, you know, the amortization that works for me with the interest rate. And if I can get that payment, you know, within a certain amount to where we can still cash flow, then it works for us. And that's what we've been able to do, secure good terms with good rates, and, you know, and still be profitable. So now the mats pay for themselves. And to add to that, so we financed, you know, our first few, and now we have like family and friends and some partners in my real estate deals that actually come into these deals with us and help us with the rest.
On the seller financing deals, are you amortizing them out like 20, 25, 30 years and having a balloon payment? How are you setting those up?
Correct. Yeah. We're usually doing it for anywhere from, we have one that's at 10 and we have one that's at 5, for speaking of the balloon. But yeah, we're amortizing them like 20 years, because we don't want a super huge payment when we're making all this investment in equipment and marketing and, you know, and rehabbing of these properties. Because at the end of the day, the mat still needs to pay for it, and it needs to be able to cover the nut, so to speak. And you want to put yourself in a position where, you know, you can still make a positive cash flow every month of a reasonable amount. But you can also be able to make all these payments to everyone. And if you have investors, you can make their investment payment to them as well.
Yeah. And just so everybody's on the same page with the seller finance terms, because I know a lot of people don't really understand all that stuff. So amortization is basically how long you stretch out the loan for. But the balloon payment says, okay, listen, if you're going to pay it over 20 years, your payment's going to be smaller because you got a long time to pay it, but there's going to be a balloon payment at 10 years, which means the loan is only a 10-year loan, and whatever's owed beyond, you know, from year 10 to year 20, you pay it all at once. So either you need to have cash to pay it, or you need to refinance it, or you need to sell it, or you need to leverage another investment, or however you can do it. Or you can negotiate with the seller again and say, hey, let's keep this train rolling. Sometimes that is an option also. So just so everybody's on the same page, that balloon payment is where you owe a big chunk of change that's left over from your loan.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So let me, before we roll on, I'll just say one last thing, because I also make sure that I have the end in mind when I'm taking either, you know, money from investors or I'm doing owner financing with these sellers, because I've checked with, like, you know, the SBA, and I check with my bank to know what their requirements are in 2 to 3 years. If I want to refinance this thing, give everybody back their money, take everybody out, get my money out, and still be able to move forward. So just keep the end in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cause that, you know, if you got like a 5, 7, 10 year balloon payment coming, that time comes quicker than you think sometimes. And if you don't have a plan on how you're going to deal with it, then a lot of times you end up getting in a situation where you're desperate and you got to sell, and you end up not being able to capitalize on the investment, either long-term by holding it longer or by selling it at top of the market pricing, because you got to make this balloon payment, right? So having that end in mind, having the plan going forward. And, you know, and here's, I mean, I love, again, you're like running a professional shop here, which I love. But, you know, in order to do refinance with like an SBA or even just a bank loan or whatever, you've got to, you've got to do certain things, that they require, like you're saying, right? And part of that is like keeping clean books, because your taxes and bank statements,
stuffing it in your mattress,
you know, all that stuff's got to match up, right? And a lot of laundromat owners are guilty of not running their books that way. And it ends up hurting them because, like you said, when they go to sell, you know, a lot of times they can't sell, for what they want to, because it's not financeable, because their books don't match. And so they end up having to offer seller financing, which actually can be a good thing for them too. But there's definitely repercussions.
I mean, that's the main reason, not to cut you off, Jordan, that's the main reason why we got the first one, because their books were not together. I actually have a deal, and probably by the time this airs, the lady just letting us come in as a partner and just take it over because she can't get it sold because her books are terrible. And we just see that as an opportunity.
Yeah, that's awesome. How did you meet these other other two or three people that you're talking to with the laundromats?
Okay, so one I found on Craigslist. The another I found through one of the distributors. The other one I actually found through the owner of the first business I bought. He knew other people that wanted to get out that own laundromats.
Yeah.
So it's all about just telling everybody what you do, networking, and talk about it all the time. And there you go.
Yeah. And one thing that I found, and I don't know, it sounds like maybe you found this to be true too, but one thing I found is that after you own that first laundromat, a lot of opportunities open up to you. A lot of deals find themselves in your lap sometimes. And like you said too, you know, other people get intrigued about what you're doing and want to be part of it and want to invest with you, in those deals too. And so you, a lot of times you can get access to capital that you couldn't otherwise. So getting that first one and getting like a good solid base hit under your belt, is critical to building that empire that you've got rolling already, over there.
Yeah, you just got to get the ball rolling.
Yeah. Okay. So, real quick, going back to your wife, are you guys both working on the businesses? Do you have different roles, or how do you guys do that and working together?
Absolutely. So we both definitely have different roles. I find the businesses, negotiate them, find the money to close them. And then she does all the hiring and the running of the businesses.
That's cool. I like that. Because, you sort know, of 1-2
we
combo.
Yeah. You got that 1-2 punch there kind of going, you know?
That's right.
And I mean, and she enjoys it. And now it gives her something to do in the business that's meaningful, because I mean, you know, operations is her thing, you know, finding them and getting them closed is mine. And it's worked really well. And we've been able to build a great system. And like I said, you know, bring in family and friends, and just been an awesome experience.
All right. So talk to us about, you got this first one. I know we're kind of jumping around a little bit here, but you got this first one, and you took it over and it's day one. Like, how were you guys feeling? What were you thinking? What was going through your mind? Were you just like hit the ground running, or were you like, okay, now what? Or what was that like?
Yeah. So honestly, we stood in the middle of the laundromat with like the keys in hand, you know, when the owner handed them to us, and she left, and we're standing like, we actually did this.
Yeah.
So what the hell are we going to do now? And, I mean, honestly, what we started doing was cleaning and sweeping the floor, because we were like, okay, look, we need to figure out everything that needs to be done in here, so we know how to put together a scope of work. So, I mean, that first one, I mean, we were the ones emptying the trash, wiping down the machines, you know, cleaning the dryer vents, you know, the whole deal, cleaning out the glass. I mean, sucks. We figured out how to, you know, change the prices on the machine. Like, my wife can change the diaphragm. She can clean the drains. She knows how to change a water valve. I mean, you know, my wife's a beast, but, and she was like, I don't need anybody to do that. I can do that myself. And so the whole deal was like us to really learn the business from the bottom up. So that by doing that, now We know exactly what's expected of everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And sometimes like when you're, I had the same thing, like my wife and I stood there in that laundromat and we're like, we're here by ourselves. Like, what do we do now? Right. And just sometimes it's just like,
it's a surreal experience. Do something tangible. Surreal moment.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you just got to do something. So, you know, there's not a whole lot to do in a laundromat, you know? And so pick up that broom and start talking to customers and stuff. So yeah, that's pretty awesome.
It's funny. Cause like, so you took, I don't know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just gonna say for like the first couple of months, we just like be at home, you know, watching the cameras, you know, all times of night, you know, every minute, you know, just as a new laundromat, just excited that you had that stuff.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like a new baby that you watch, but it really doesn't do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of boring, but you're like, yeah, that's mine.
Did they use the 60? Did they use the 40?
Yeah, that's exactly right. For me though, it was more like, did somebody break into something again? Did somebody die in there? Like what's going on?
I got one of those stories too, but we'll save that for the end, Jordan.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to write that one down so we come back to it.
Yeah. You write that one down because that's a good one.
Yeah. All right. So you buy your first one and you guys kind of started off to the races. Did you find that the numbers were what you thought they were, or were they off, or what was that?
They were definitely off. They were definitely off. So, we originally thought the place was making about, you know, $5,000 to $6,000 a month. And right out the gate, we knew just from the activity and, you know, because my wife's now, she's learning about the turns. She's learning about, okay, this, how many turns equals this much revenue. And we saw it was off right from the beginning. And though we're spending all this money on CapEx or renovation, so we see the money going out the door and we're like, okay, it's not coming back in. What's really going on here? And so then once, you know, but you need a full like 60, 90 days to really, really know what the place is doing. And once we got there and we were able to track the numbers, we were able to say, okay, bingo, this is where it's going wrong. Let's make some adjustments. And that's where, you know, renovations were done. So now we start increasing the prices on the machines, on the dryers. And then we slowly start to see that arrow start creeping up and to the right. And then, you know, things started to turn around. So, I mean, I tell anybody, you got to give it 6 months to really see what the numbers are really doing. Well, 90 days to see what the numbers are doing. Then you need another 90 days to see where you can get this thing. And then you can push from there.
Yeah. Were you guys nervous about it? Or were you like, okay, like, here we go. Let's do it.
I mean, not really, because, man, I mean, the laundry business or a laundromat business compared to real estate, like this is a walk in the park to me. That is another, I guess, something else that kind of prepared us for this, because we knew that, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. We weren't expecting, you know, an overnight, you know, sensation. We just know if we stayed the course that down the line, this is going to be a good cash flow, you know, semi-passive asset for us, you know, going into the future. We're, you know, 20 years from right now, and we're ready to hang out the gloves.
All right. So when did you decide, you know what, we need more of these things. Let's go find some more. How long did it take you before you got that second one?
Right before Christmas. So we bought the other one like late September, beginning of October. And it was around Christmas time when we started to see the numbers like shoot up, and we were like, okay, so all you got to do is run this right and offer, you know, the demographic what they need, and then they all come. I mean, we were claiming like, you know, Nextdoor pages and Yelp pages, because they'd never been claimed, you know, Google listing. And once people knew we were there and we painted the building, make it look nice and cleaned up the inside, and we'd see, okay, there's a trickle more. That's a lot more people. Oh, those are new faces. And we're like, okay, I think we've got this dialed in. Now we just need to ride it out and let it do what it will. And, so I was sitting there talking to my wife and we were like, this is real and this is tangible. This is a real tangible business that makes cash every week, thousands of dollars. And she was like, yes, it is. Let's do this. and we were like, okay. And we had another opportunity. We're like, okay, sign an LOI, send it out. We're like, we'll take it. And then that one worked out. So we just started sending out LOIs. And if they accepted it, it was fine. If they didn't, a letter of intent for everybody so they know. And mm-hmm. if they didn't, that was fine too. And the ones that were accepted, we move forward because we already ran the numbers. And if the ones they didn't, we just push them down to the side and we'll wait for you to come back when you're reasonable. and we were just off to the races. We were like, you know what? I'm tired of working so hard to do what we do to make this kind of money. When, I mean, it just kind of goes back to the whole, you know, comparison of the house to the laundromat. I mean, there is no comparison. These things blow away a rental property. And I actually did a comparison of that on my Facebook page. And everybody was like, oh, a laundromat makes more money. I was like, then why is everybody trying to buy a house? but
it's a good question.
But I mean, yeah, it's a really good question, especially with the returns these things make. And, you know, when I'm asleep, you know, my washers are running. They're my employees. My dryers are running. They're my employees. And they never stop. If you got good machines, they'll never stop. And if they do, you get a repair guy out and he's back working 24/7. And that was our turning point. We're like, hey, we can amass a huge portfolio of these. And that's our objective right now. I mean, because scaling is very important to us because we don't just do things halfway. And if we can amass a huge portfolio of these, shucks, we could be millionaires in the laundry business in the next 5 years. And that's our goal. That's absolutely our goal. And to bring in our friends and our partners and everybody with us, because I mean, I see no reason this can't be a team sport. There's enough for everybody here.
Yeah. Love that mindset. That second one, is that the one you found on Craigslist?
No, the second one is the one that we got from the broker.
The broker, the distributor broker. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, were you half an eye, one eye on the cameras, one eye on looking for a new one? Sounds like you caught the bug there and you're like ready to go off to the races. So,
Jordan, it's just like you said, like it's like people say, okay, look, these guys are legitimate buyers. And now since we, and then when we got the second one, I mean, everybody's just flooding us with deals. And because I mean, and look, and everybody we buy from is 70 or older. They're like, they're done. They made their money. They're ready to get out of the game. And I mean, I mentioned owner financing. They have no problem with it. I'm talking to my dad. He's like, yeah, back in the day, that's everybody did business. Mm-hmm. So they know what you're talking about. I'm like, okay, well, let's do this.
Yeah.
And if we can get that, man, we'll own a ton of these. Our goal is to have 6 by the end of June. And 10 by the end of the year. So,
ooh, you are moving. I like it. What? So, and you guys are running a hybrid system right now, right? You're doing coins, cards, both.
Correct. Yeah, we're doing coins and cards, and then we're using Cynce to run our POS system for our pickup and delivery and wash, dry, fold.
Yeah. Awesome. Did any of these laundromats have wash, dry, fold, pickup, and delivery when you bought them? Or did you add them? Or what was that like?
The one I'm sitting in right now actually had it already. But, I mean, I guess you could say they had it. But, I mean, it was barely existent. The first laundromat that we bought did not. We actually implemented it into that one. And the one that we are, the third one we bought, they have a wash, dry, and fold system. It just wasn't efficient. So we put it in there. And then the next two, do not have it. And we're just going to run them as coin, or just a regular, you know, laundromat without wash by fold.
Yeah.
Self-serve. There you go. Yeah. Cause the demographic doesn't call for it over there.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, and you mentioned demographics, and earlier you mentioned demographics and psychographics. Can you talk to me a little bit about, I want to go back to the pickup and delivery in a second, but can you talk to me a little bit about what you're looking at when you're looking at demographics, psychographics, when you're looking for a laundromat?
Sure. The demographics tell you who, and the psychographic tells you why. So who is our prospect client? And then, you know, the psychographic is why are they our prospect client? And once you figure that out, you'll know, okay, you know, families live in this area. Maybe mom and dad work. They don't have time to do all of the laundry, you know, cause like I take my own experience for that fact. Like my wife and I, you know, both entrepreneurs, we're both working all the time. Though we have a washer and dryer in our house, we would still send our laundry out to the laundromat to get washed and folded and draw ready because we didn't have the time. If we had the time, then that meant we were taking away maybe from our time together or our time together with our kids. And, you know, that's obviously all based off of, you know, where your income level is. And in some areas, based on the home value, you can determine what type of client you have in your area. And same thing, you could be in a lower income area, maybe $50,000 or less, but your walk-in clients could be, you know, $50,000 or less. But, you know, just outside of, say, a half a mile range, you have your clients that are, you know, over that $50,000 to $100,000 range that could afford your service. So this way you're able to serve two demographics. And that's very important because now that's two different clients that you can serve that maybe you're only focused on one. So, you know, let's say the average wash, dry, fold client is worth about $2,500 a year. Hey, get 50 more of those a year. What does that do to your bottom line? How much more does that make? How much more valuable does that make your laundromat worth? And I think that's where a lot of the old school people that are running these businesses, they're not watching those numbers. They could care less about what a psychographic and a demographic is. And they're not like, I bought a business. The guy was operating out of a freaking college rule, like ledger. And they didn't care. They weren't tracking it like QuickBooks. They were like, yeah, we got it all written down. It's like written down. You don't even have an Excel spreadsheet. And I was like, nah, we don't have any of that. I was like, all right, well, it's your place now. But we'll work that out. And those are the ones that I see. And I say, okay, bam, if that's what he's doing, that's an opportunity. And then we'll check, bam, no social media, no Yelp review, no Google reviews, no website. And I was like, oh, well, just on that alone, I know I can push 20, 25% more revenue in this business. That's a given.
Yeah, that's money. And I think that is where a lot of the opportunity is right now. I mean, we're seeing more and more people like you coming in who are looking at numbers, who are looking at the data, who are doing careful analysis. But there's still so many owners out there who've just been running their business, you know, the way they've been running it forever. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it does create an opportunity for someone new to come in when that time is right to come in and run it a little bit more precisely and a little bit more thoroughly like a business.
Absolutely.
Just like you're doing.
Yeah, because I say, oh, look, if they've been doing that for the last 25 years, in 25 years, maybe the way that we do it will seem, you know, analog, right? To compare it to what they'll be doing in the new generation. But it worked for them during that time. And this is the new time for us.
And it's why I think it's so important that we just keep an eye open for how things are changing, right? Because things didn't change very much for decades in this business until recently, like the last 5 years or less than that. Yeah. It's been changing a lot, right? And so if you're not keeping an eye out for how things are changing, we are going to be the analog generation 20 years from now, right? We'll be next, you know, the next generation zombie mats if we're not keeping an eye open on stuff and changing kind of with the times and adopting new business practices, technologies, all that stuff as it's going. And it can be real easy to just kind of get in your groove and stay there. But you got to keep that eye open on how things are changing because you don't want to get left behind.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why, like, I stay up on a lot of your podcasts. And like, I just spoke to Ernesto about the geofencing. I got my whole guys that do the social media marketing and the Google listings because, yeah, you have to be on top of this stuff. And I'll watch something that you have posted. I'm like, okay, I need to go do some research. Let's figure that out so we don't get left behind. And you have to stay on top of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more and more important as we go. But all right, I want to go back to the pickup and delivery. How did you know, in these ones that didn't have it or even the one that had it, but not really, how do you start pickup and delivery from scratch? Was that difficult to do? What was that process like for you?
Yeah, so originally, super challenging. I watched tons of videos on YouTube and on your channel on how to get this thing going. But the main thing that I saw was, okay, first we need a good foundation. So, you know, looked at a bunch of different software that was out there, actually had a really good conversation with Sense, and that's where my wife and I were comfortable with their system. And once they told me how it integrated with, like, you know, the different delivery services, I'm like, and I don't have to buy a van. I don't have to go get a separate insurance and all this kind of stuff. Like, I was like, winner, winner, chicken dinner. So now we said, okay, now we have a good foundation. Let's market directly to that consumer where they are at. So that was, you know, Google ads, you know, Facebook, Instagram, you know, running ads on Yelp and everywhere else, because it's a marketing plan, because it doesn't happen overnight. But we could see that one order one month went to three orders, went to five orders, went to 10 orders. And so you get a regular client base built up. And then you start getting consistency once you start doing, like we do doctor's offices now. We do a lot of Airbnb business. And you start to build that clientele, because they have to get to know you. I find that people that get to know you and like you do business with you. And once they know that we provide a good service to them that, you know, is draw ready for them and, they can depend on, that was their biggest thing that we heard from maybe someone that was with someone else prior. And now they're with us.
Do you feel like there was a lot of your customer base was doing their laundry, like the pickup and delivery with someone else? Or do you feel like it was a lot of new people who used to do their own laundry or whatever? Or do you have any sense of that?
I'd say probably about 70-30. I've talked to customers, a lot of them are just new to it because it was advertising probably just kept hitting them. But then there were people that I spoke to and I know they were with someone else and then they switched over to us.
Is there anything that you guys are doing that why would somebody switch to you guys from another service? Is what do you think you're providing that maybe the other people were missing?
I mean, it's the same thing that I kind of preach, you know, just for our laundromats, you know, clean, safe, affordable, dependable. And, you know, me being an ex-military, army veteran, you know, dependability is super important, you know, in our laundromats to us. And because just like, you know, the U.S. military, you can depend on them. And we kind of run it with that kind of precision. But it's also important that when someone gives you their clothes, that's a personal thing. And if you treat it as such, and you respect that, then I think that's felt. And then that's how you end up building up referrals and the word of mouth starts to spread.
That's a big deal. And, you know, I can't remember who it was. Somebody I was interviewing on the podcast was talking about that at one point in time. And it just hit me while we were talking. And I was like, you know what? Clothes are super personal and they're very expensive, yeah. Right? People invest a lot of money in their clothes, but it's also just a very personal thing. Like people pick their clothes very out personal. To present themselves to the world in a certain way. Right. And like, that's very important to people. And I knew that sort of, I knew that sort of conceptually, but I can't remember who, apologies to whoever you were out there that came on this podcast and switched my mindset here. Cause that was a big shift for me, but it was a big shift. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that's a big deal that people let us do their laundry for them. That's a really big deal. So I think absolutely. You're absolutely right. Like that dependability, is huge. And then also, you know, the respect and almost like, hey, it's an honor to do your laundry. Like it feels a little silly to say that. Cause you're like, I'm just cleaning your clothes.
No, but that's
really, it is an honor. Yeah. It's an honor for sure. Mm-hmm. Did you find that it took a long time to kind of get things ramped? I mean, it can't take that long cause it hasn't been that long, but like, do you feel like it's taking a long time to ramp up the pickup and delivery? I think a lot of, let me rephrase it this way. I think a lot of people's concern is if I'm going to do pickup and delivery, and I know you're doing it with third party drivers, right? But if I'm going to do pickup and delivery, I'm worried about losing money until I can get enough volume in order to make it worth my while to do that. Did you find that to be true? Or did you find like, I already got employees here, so it was ready to go?
No. So, I mean, you have to make sure the juice is worth the squeeze, right? And right from the gate, I'll use laundromat number two, because they already had full-time employees there that we had to replace because they left when we bought the place. And they already had a modest amount of upper wash trifold. But yeah, you have to account for that and say, okay, how many months? I mean, that's in our business plan. How many months is it going to take us to actually get this thing up and ramped up and going? How much marketing dollars are we going to spend? And, you know, what do we expect it to look like? And how many pounds of clothes do we actually need to do to be profitable at XYZ, you know, percentage? And, I mean, some of those laundromats, we're still not even at our goal yet. But we know this is a marathon and not a race. We're trying to get there, you know, eventually, so that once it's there, we have it for the next 20 years. So even if it takes us a year to get there, the goal is to have it, you know, going forward. And then to keep advertising and figure out what works and then double down on that to just keep building the business. So, I mean, you're going to do a lot of split testing to see what works as far as advertising goes. You're going to try a lot of different ways to do it. But the main thing is that, you make a budget, you stick to it. You know, okay, this is a 6-month commitment I'm going to do. I'm going to roll it out. I'm going to split test and I'm going to make sure all this stuff works before I just give up on it. I think that's a lot of people's main issue, is that they start down the road of doing something and don't give enough time to actually, you know, resolve and then figure out what works and what doesn't. Because look, there's so many people, I mean, and I'll say this, there's so many people that move to Florida and continue to move to Florida that there's no way our customers are not out there. It's just us getting visible in front of them and figuring what's the correct way to target them to get them, you know, on our list so that we can now service them. And that's our mindset when we look at that.
Yeah. And that long-term mindset is huge, man. That is the key, because it's so easy to get wrapped up in the day-to-day. And, you know, marketing is a funny game, right? It takes a long time to hone in on exactly the platforms and the demographics that you're targeting and exactly how your messaging, all that stuff has to line up, right? And you talk about split testing, which, just so people know what split testing is, it's using an ad or an ad copy or something like that, an image or whatever. And then using one that's, you change one variable, right? And then you just see which one performs better. And then you take the one that performs better and you just change another variable, and you keep doing that until you find your optimal, marketing platforms, your ad copy, your images, your videos, all that stuff, your messaging. And it takes time.
Market it like a madman.
It takes time, right? To figure all it that does. Stuff out. And a lot of times I think we expect, especially digital marketing, we just expect to like turn on ads and for them to just drive customers to us and drive revenue to our businesses. And it can happen that way, but sometimes it just takes time. You got to have that long-term perspective. So you're doing a lot of stuff right here. I love a lot of what you're saying here. This is great.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. That means a lot coming from you, Jordan.
Listen, whatever I say, it doesn't really matter. It really kind of just matters what your customers think, actually. So,
absolutely.
Okay. So, I mean, you've got three laundromats right now in a relatively short period of time. You're adding two more. Can we talk about scaling for a second? Like, how has that process been? I've mentioned this before. I did a poll about how many laundromats people want to have, right? And I was like, do you want one? Do you want a handful, or do you want like 10 or more? Right. And it was like, almost everybody was like 10 or more laundromats. And I'm like, all right, let's do it, but let's get you one first and let's get going. Right. And you know, one thing that I've found is that the skill sets of running one laundromat are different than the skill sets of running 5 laundromats, 10 laundromats, 30 laundromats, right? And your mindset's different. And you already kind of already have this because of the real estate stuff. So you kind of know what you're walking into. But can you talk about, like, have there been any growing pains, or what's scaling been like for you going from one to multiple?
No, absolutely. I mean, tons of growing pains. But, and that's why, like, I've been documenting my whole process. Because even I go back and look at some of my old videos. I'm like, oh, you know what? Could have done that better. Let's write that down. Or let's write that down because we can, you know, that we did that really well. But just from like talking in a lot of the laundromat groups and so forth, I'm trying to get to the point as fast as possible with the scaling to where I can hire a maintenance guy and I can hire a manager, because now that takes me out of the day to day. And that's our goal, to get to 4 or 5, because that's the magic number, according to everyone in the business that I've spoken with. And I was talking to some people who've been in the business like 20, 30 years. Once I get there, now I can really explode this thing. And then when I get to 10, then I'll hire another person, because you can't do this just like any business. You can't do this on your own. You have to build a team, that you can work with that can take you there. And that's where we're trying to get this thing. It's all about, you know, picking the right team, having the right leadership, having the right, I want to say like motto in place, you know, or the right mindset. In your team, so that everyone culture. Is on board. Yeah. And so culture, yeah, saying the right culture and the same mindset, you know, as we move forward, so that, you know, everyone knows what the goal is here. And I find by doing that, you know, it gets everyone the same singular focus, and it allows everyone else to do their job to the best of their ability.
Yeah. That team aspect, it's a big shift, right? Cause a lot of, I'd say probably the majority of laundromat owners run their own laundromats. And probably a really good chunk of them do most of the work also, not even having employees. And so it's a totally different mindset, and it's a different skill set to build a team and to manage a team and to run a team. And then to hire a manager to help you manage the team. And now you're working with a manager, and then your roles and responsibilities shift also. Especially if your goal is to scale, you're probably going to be focusing a lot on the acquisitions and, you know, analyzing the deals and all that, and negotiating and nurturing. So I find you have to do a lot of nurturing of these sellers a lot of times.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a whole nother job in itself.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but look, I had a conversation with a owner that's a very seasoned owner. He owns, man, like 9 or 12 stores. And I asked him, and I was like, okay, who runs your stores? And he's like, I do. And I'm like, who does your repairs? And he's like, I do. And I'm like, okay, well, why? He's like, because I don't want to pay anybody else to do it. And I'm like, but why? I was like, because somebody that I go to for mentorship, you know what I mean? Because he runs a very successful ship. I'm like, you understand, you could be so much bigger than you are. And I'm like, why? He's like, because that's all I can handle. And I'm like, well, that's your problem. If you hired some people here, you could be huge.
Yeah.
But some people are, I guess, old school like that, and they don't want to give away the control or I don't know what you call it, but that's not what we do over here. I mean, we can't scale like that.
Yeah.
And any big business that runs, you know, they have people in positions to be able to take themselves out of the equation. And here's the biggest thing, right? I'm like, how do you go away? He's like, I don't. Maybe for a weekend. I'm like, why? And then this isn't making you happy.
Or maybe it is, you know, who knows? Maybe that's just what he likes to do. And, you know, it's interesting to me, you know, as I talk to owners all over, there's just a lot of different motivations. Some people just love to be in their laundromats. They just love doing it. They love to be in it. And
I think this is super fun. I love this so far.
Yeah. And it is. I mean, I think that's one of the great things about this laundromat is that it's very people oriented and it's very community oriented. But some people don't have that ambition to get bigger than, you know, just they can handle. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just a different way of running the business and different goals and obviously different outcomes, right? He can't take a vacation. Correct. And, you know, after you get your, you know, 5 to 10 there, I bet you'll be taking some pretty sweet vacations because you'll have good people in place who are trained and they won't really need you that much to run the business. Which is
exactly
a sweet goal, I think.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We have some pretty great employees that we've been able to find. Because we're totally open to that. They've taught us stuff because they've been in the business longer than we have.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes you just have to be able to, you know, take that stuff in and say, okay, we can learn from that. Let's implement that. Great idea. Thanks for being a team player. And, you know, and that goes a long way.
Well, you mentioned, and we'll talk about this again towards the end, but you mentioned it, and I think this is a good spot to kind of throw it in here. You said you've been documenting your journey. How have you been documenting it? Where have you been documenting it? Can you share that real quick? We'll mention it again, but.
Yeah, absolutely. So my wife and I started a page. It's called Wealth Off Washers. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. And we just kind of go through and we're just kind of showing everybody what we've gone through so far in this business. We show like our rehabs, you know, we show obviously collecting coins. We just showed the flood we had in one of our laundromats because real life stuff. We're just showing like real life things that have happened to us. We're actually about to upload the video of when we had our second employee try to break into the safe room and we had to call the cops and it was crazy. But these are all real world things that happen in the laundry bag business that we're showing people that we do. And then we're giving people, the processes that we put together, you know, like, hey, this is what it takes. If you're interested, you know, go try it. And we're just trying to document it, have some fun with it, you know, include our kids in it. And, it's been super fun. Got a cool logo.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's all about that logo. Yeah, Wealth Off Washers is awesome. That's a sweet name too. That's yeah, sick. Yeah. Yeah, so go check that out.
We play with it on ChatGPT and came up with a cool name.
Yeah. I love that. ChatGPT coming in for the win on that one. I love it.
For the win. They're awesome. Yeah, we're on all the platforms. They can find us on IG, Facebook, Instagram. I think that's all of them, right? Yeah, there they go. Yeah, yeah, we're good. Right. We're good to go.
Oh, TikTok?
You can go to the website. TikTok, yep, we're on TikTok.
Okay. I think
we're on TikTok.
Right. Yeah, are you dancing in your website at all? I mean, in your laundromat?
Am I dancing in it?
Yeah, that's what I want to see, some TikToks of you dancing in your laundromat. That's
a great idea. See, now you would maybe put that video out next week.
That's what I'm saying. It'll be out by the time this thing comes out. So go check out Wealth Off Washers.
No, it's funny because, I think, is it Beyonce that has that new Texas Hold'em song that just came out with a dance? I'm going to get my wife to do that in the laundromat with
me. Yeah. There you go.
Maybe I'll get the employees in it. We'll make it a whole thing.
Yeah. Maybe I need to fly out there and I'll just bumble around with you guys while you're dancing.
Absolutely. You're welcome anytime.
That's hilarious.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. Do you have a close date on these other two laundromats?
We close on one next week and one the following week after. So the first 2 weeks of April. Yeah.
Two different sellers?
They are two different sellers. Yep.
And you're getting after
it. One of the sellers we're actually buying it from and the other seller, we're actually partnering with her and taking it over. Right.
Yeah, what does that look like? How did you structure that partnership?
So when I originally went to her, she was someone that wanted too much for her laundromat. And after, turning it down twice, she actually came back to us. And then we kind of worked out the whole owner financing thing. I'm like, okay, well, what works? And we were able to strike a deal where we keep her on. So not to complicate this for everyone that's new to this, but we were able to buy her entity and lead her on as part owner. So now she will continue to get residual income from this because she's an older lady without having to do any of the work because that's what she didn't want. She didn't want to have to go clean it anymore. She didn't want to have to go change the coins. She didn't want to have to deal with bums or anybody in the laundromat. She didn't want to deal with the landlord because he's a whole nother situation. And she enjoys the monthly cash revenue. And so we worked out a lump sum that she'll take up front that makes her comfortable, and then we'll just leave her in the deal, and she'll own it. She'll own a piece of it as long as we own it. And she was like, "You can do that?" I was like, "Yeah, of course we can do that." And she was like, "Awesome, let's go." So there you go.
That's awesome. So is she also an equity partner?
No, she is not an equity partner, but she we kind of did like a profit sharing structure.
Yeah,
where she will still be able to, you know, benefit from the net cash flow every month that Barry runs paying.
Dude, I love it. It's genius. I love it. And you know, what I like about that is, and so many people get stuck, right? Like a deal, they can't make a deal work, or somebody's asking an unreasonable amount, ridiculous amount for their laundromat or whatever. And then that just kind of ends the conversation. But the reality of it is that there's a thousand different ways to finance these things and to work out deals. So I love that.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to like the old school way of thinking. People just think the only way to buy something is go to the bank, get a loan, you know, sign your life away, and then be done with the deal. I'm like, no, you got to think outside the box. I'm like, Neo in the Matrix, there is no spoon.
Yeah,
and you know,
that's right.
We just keep going around the outside until we figure out what shape fits in the hole and get the deal done. And that's what you got to do. Several people tried to work this out with her and couldn't figure it out. Wasn't that the lack of buyers that tried to buy it because her books are trash? You know, no one could get the bank to do it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so many people are only exposed to traditional financing methods, right? 20% down payment or whatever, 40% or whatever percent down payment, and then monthly payments for 10 years or whatever, right? Like that's all
correct.
We're ever exposed to. And so, you know, again, go out there and learn different creative financing structures. There's a ton of different ways to finance these things.
Tons. And the bank telling you, you're going to take this interest rate and you're going to like it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, whoa, no, I'm going to do my own thing over here. I got to cover.
Exactly.
How much time you spending, you and your wife spending in the business these days? It's gotta be a lot, 'cause you're growing so fast.
Well, believe it or not, I just bought another 16 units. So we're doing that and still doing laundromats. But I'd say we probably spend a total amount of like 3 days a week in the laundromats right now. It's not too bad. We kind of got it situated where, you know, we have all our processes and systems in place. And a lot of the stuff, because it's cloud-based, you know, POS, my wife can see right from her laptop or her cell phone. Or you can just look on the cameras, but we got some really good employees that we've been able to find and hire that go around and do maintenance. They know that they're working this in the laundromats. And, believe me, we had to go through some bad apples to get to where we are now. Which leads, and I'll just tell you now. So we had an employee that she literally tried to break into our safe room and got in. Broke the door with a fire hydrant, a hammer, and a screwdriver. By the time we actually caught it on camera, you know, put tons of police there, you know, arrest, you know, surveillance, there had to be some minutes of police. I mean, it was a real mess. So we learned firsthand what you can and cannot do right out the gate of owning our first laundromat. And what it takes as far as, you know, making sure you have that maintenance person on hand that can go out and fix that door. And while on shift. So, I mean, that's why we have a very stringent, you know, process right now when it comes to hiring people. And there is no shortcut to that, because if you do that, like how we did when we first learned, lesson learned, you will pay for it. But now, that's why we're able to do what we're able to do, because we learned those lessons, we learned from them, and we're able to move on. And now we have, you know, people in place that are great, that we can trust and trust but verify. And they take a lot of the load off of us, so we can continue to do what we need to do to help grow and scale the business and keep them busy, keep them employed. And you know, they understand that. And at the same time, be able to scale our business.
Yeah, that's wild. I had a similar, I don't think I've ever shared this. I don't think my wife even knows this, but lucky for me, she doesn't listen to my podcast. So I was getting ready to hire a guy who seemed like a great guy. I did all my due diligence. I did background, all that stuff. Seemed like a really great guy. And then he ended up calling one of the other employees pretending to be an inspector and said, "Hey, can you just come unlock the laundromat?" And but this is before I hired him. Unlock the laundromat, unlock the back room door. We had a little store at this one. And so there was cash there and all our product and everything. He's like, "Can you just leave that open and then leave, you know, for an hour, basically, and just leave it open. We're going to come and inspect it." Pretending to be somebody from the city or something. And she was like, "That's weird." And so she called me and was like, "Is this true?" And I was like, "No, this is not true." So I found out it was this guy. And then I told him I wasn't going to hire him and to not come back ever again. And then he started calling me like in the middle of the night, like with death threats and stuff. I was like, what is happening right now? Just wild stuff, man. I don't know. Dude, you got to be careful about who you hire. That's for sure. That employee that was trying to break into your, or did break into your safe room, was that somebody you inherited or is that somebody you hired?
No, that was somebody we hired. We were in a rush to get someone and didn't go through our full due diligence period. And that's what happened. And we immediately, you know, learned from that mistake. So that never happened again. And you know, I think, we kind of needed to learn that lesson because now we'll never make that mistake again. I'm just glad we got all of them out the way right up front.
Yeah. Well, how are you finding people now? And like a little bit of your, you don't have to go into full detail, but like a little bit of your hiring method.
Sure. We wrote an ad. We use like Indeed and things like that. We don't advertise on like a Craigslist or something because I find that it's not as good of a candidate that you get. But we use that platform and I think she uses Monster as well. That's actually not my job description. No one in the life does that, but I know that's the one she uses. And we've been able to get a lot more, better candidates. She also sends them through a personality profile, like a disc test, to make sure we're putting the right butt in the right seat. And that's kind of what's actually worked well for us and got us like the three employees that we have now that are freaking phenomenal.
Yeah. That's awesome, dude. That's quite a lesson to learn there. But like you said, it's good that you learned it. And that hopefully will never happen again. And you know, sometimes stuff just happens, you know, and you just got to roll with those punches. You got to learn the lessons and
hey, you do. Look, it's a learning curve to everything. You know, you got to pay your dues in the laundry business.
That's right. You got to pay your dues. Unfortunately, there's no end to those lessons. I don't think,
The
moment you think you learned everything, you get thrown a curveball and something new comes your way. That's my experience. You do. Yeah.
Correct.
Awesome. All right. We've got a segment of the podcast called Down to Business.
Let's get down to business. Over and out.
We'll just get a little more detail about the business. We've got a lot of it already, but we'll just run through a couple of these things. So you've got three, you've got two in the pipeline. You might have five by the time this thing comes out, actually. So congrats to having five. Knock on wood. We'll see that goes through. What does it cost to do laundry and or drop off or pick up and delivery in Tampa?
We charge $1.99 for a drop off and drop off and delivery here in our market. That seems to be the competitive amount from the prices that we have done. But we're also looking into right now kind of like a almost like kind of what like Uber Eats does or Uber does, like a surge price during certain times, like on the weekend, it tends to be a little busier. So maybe be a little cheaper during like, you know, Monday through Thursday or Wednesday when it's a little slower. So we're actually doing some research on that right now.
Do you think you would increase the price on the weekend or decrease the price on during the week?
I think it's going to have kind of just like a hotel room. So like on, say, Tuesday and Wednesday are really slower days. It's going to be less. And then it'll level off to our regular $199 price. But then at our height during the weekend, it's going to be more. Because obviously we have a lot of people in the mat that are actually our walk-in customers that are using a lot of the machines. And if I'm going to take that up for a quash dry full customer, I want to make sure that we're optimizing and not losing any money in the larger mat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that would be important for sure. Just shout out to, we've got a calculator on the website that you can check out, you or anybody, who's considering doing wash, dry, fold or pickup and delivery. That'll help you calculate your actual costs, how much it actually costs you to do a pound of laundry for wash, dry, fold or pickup and delivery. And then you can build in the margin that you're looking for in there. Just make sure, I think there's a lot of people running their business, wash, dry, fold and pickup and delivery, and they're not making money and they don't even know it. So we made that calculator out there so you can make sure you know what you're doing.
I live by that calculator. I use it all the time. We have like four or five of them going in the ones on my computer.
Awesome. Are all of your laundromats attended, unattended? What are they looking like? Partially attended?
Right now, two are attended and one is not.
Okay. And then are they all three hybrid?
Hybrid meaning?
Coin and card?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You can use either one at all of them.
Yeah. Not like gas or gas and electric. Yeah.
No, because I mean, I just find that if you get rid of one, you kind of take away the opportunity from some customers. I mean, some people like to hear the clink, clink, clink of a quarter. You know what I mean? And they necessarily don't want to use their debit card or their credit card at a laundromat. I get that too. So you want to make sure we're able to service everybody that comes through.
Yeah. Awesome. We got another segment of the podcast called Secret Sauce.
Listen up. It's the Secret Sauce.
And that's what's something that you have found that's been working, maybe in particular, something that's helping you to scale, or anything really, but you know, that you feel like other people could implement in their business or use in their business to help their businesses grow too.
Yeah, I mean, I think the secret sauce, I don't know if it's secret, but it's just really dialing in on your KPIs. I'm just surprised at how many people don't do that in this business. They don't know, you know, what's costing them what or where they're profitable at. And I think that's a huge no-no. But if I had to say like secret sauce, it'd be, you know, we hired a social media manager that, you know, runs all our ads on Facebook and TikTok and Instagram and does our Google ads. And man, you know, we have noticed the difference. If you are not doing that, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah. Just so everybody knows, KPI, key performance indicator. Just want to make sure we're on the same page. These are the numbers that drive our business. The numbers that are important, that help us gauge.
And Jordan, I'll say this one last thing.
Performing. Yeah.
I'm very excited because I got it from one of your podcasts that you did with the geofencing with Ernesto. I cannot wait to see the results that this thing does. I am so excited to get that off the ground because we just signed up with those guys.
Awesome. Well, now we're going to have you back on when you've got like 1,000 laundromats and you've tried geofencing and we got to get all the details of how all that stuff's working for you. But yeah,
that's
awesome.
I didn't even know what that was until... I had no clue what that was until I watched that podcast.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
I'm super excited.
This stuff is, it's just changing so fast. There's so much kind of going on. So that's cool, man. I can't wait to hear. We'll have to definitely stay in touch on that and see how that works for you too.
Absolutely. I will keep you in touch.
Yeah, awesome. All right, we got another segment of the podcast called Pro Tips.
Pro Tips.
And that is... You know, you maybe like 8, 9, 10 months ago, whenever it was, you're looking to buy your first laundromat. Well, you weren't really looking. It just kind of fell in your lap. But you got any tips for people who are trying to buy their first laundromat?
Yes, go to Laundromat Resource. You cannot do this on your own. Do not try to figure it out. I mean, whether you, Jordan, like I know this is our first time meeting, but you've been a mentor behind the scenes without even knowing. My wife and I watched all, go on your website, download all kind of documents, have read everything and watched everything. So I believe in always having a mentor, no matter what business I'm in. Like, I have a mentor in real estate. I have a mentor, you know, in life, but it's already figured out. You just have to figure out the person that has it figured out. That's a credible source, and then use that to your advantage. I mean, look, that's why we've been able to scale as fast as we have. We found some information that we could trust and we just ran with it. And that's my pro tip.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And yeah, tons of cool stuff over there. So go give it a shot. Appreciate the shout out on that one. In a similar vein, I mean, that mentor kind of thing, last segment of the podcast is recommended resources. I mean, you've talked about a lot of research you've done and reading and resources you've looked at. What resources do you recommend to help other people, you know, do what you're doing right now and scaling your business up so much?
I mean, I just hate to keep repeating your company's name, but I mean, anytime that we need something, we go search on your website. We're like, I mean, from like the Lost Dry Fault and how to analyze a business. How I just used the LOI for a lease 2 days ago when I was negotiating the laundromat. I mean, all these things just make you seem that much more professional when you're dealing with these people and that they know you know what you're doing. I mean, I was not a seasoned professional, but I've been looking like a professional from day one using all your stuff. And it allowed me for people to really take me seriously. And by doing that, you know, we were able to get the first one. But now once you have credibility by having a first one, it's easy to get the second one. And then when you have two, then it's easy to get the third one. But I'm still constantly going back to the original source and using all the same stuff, which gave me the credibility. Now I have a cool logo I attach to it, but no, same deal. And you can trust the numbers, but here's the thing. You can only trust the numbers you put in the spreadsheet if they are correct. So make sure you verify all those numbers. And once you do that, I mean, you're good to go in my book.
Yeah. Awesome. I'll send your check over for saying all those things, here shortly. I'll get that in the mail.
You're
the plant I put on here. No, I appreciate that. Yeah. And I'm glad to hear that those resources are helpful. That's what they are there for. And it's true, you know, like those resources are only as good as the data you put into them, but they're only also good if you utilize them, right? Like so many people are like, hey, how do I do this? And I'm like, well, here's this resource. It's right here. Here's the calculator. It's for you. You know, here's a spreadsheet for you. Like this is, you got to use those things. And it's not just, an exercise like homework, right? Where it feels like it's pointless. These things have a purpose and a point to them, and it's to help you grow your businesses.
And you are absolutely correct. I mean, that's why like I show my journey in Wealth Off Washers. Just like, hey, look, this is how I did it. These are the actions I've taken. This is what we use. This is how we came up with what we have now. And you'd be crazy not to do it. Like, who's the guy that wants to reinvite the wheel when the wheel is already invented? I mean, who does that?
Yeah, lots of people try. Sadly, unfortunately. Dude, this has been...
We're getting these laundry mats awesome. Over here.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, brother.
That's right. No, this has been... Incredible. So much good stuff. I'm digging. I'm digging what you're doing. You're scaling up quickly. You're running your business as well. You're doing all that. But I love your mindset and I love the energy that you have. And, you know, listen, everybody definitely go check out Wealth Off Washers. I was going to say Wall Street, Wealth Off Washers, for sure. And check that, stuff out. And I think too that we need to set another one of these up, but with your wife, so we can get the other side of the story here and see what she has.
She was very disappointed she couldn't make it today, but absolutely. I'm sure this is not going to be just our first time connecting and seeing each other.
That's absolutely true. All right, my last question for you then is, hey, listen, I know, like, dude, I'm super pumped that we're meeting here and looking forward to staying in touch and staying connected with you. If anybody else wants to connect with you, tell them one more time where to find you.
Sure. You can find me on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok. You can go to Wealth Off of Washers on Instagram. You can look me up on Facebook or Instagram as well. My personal page is Joe Ebanks. My wife is Lisa Ebanks. But Wealth Off Washers, you can go, you can find us, you can track our journey, you can see what we're doing. You can also see my real estate stuff if you go to my personal page. But we're here for the community, just like this community has been here for us. And we're very excited. We're very pumped about what's going to happen here in the next, you know, in the rest of 2024. We're going to crush it.
Yeah. I have no doubt about that. And, again, huge, huge honor and huge pleasure to have you on. I'm super excited about where you have come so far and pumped to see where you end up this year. But I mean, listen, we both know this year is just the beginning, you know, for you guys and in your journey. So, you know, definitely looking forward to seeing the next 5, 10, 20 years of where you guys end up taking this thing. Cause I think it's big stuff's in your future in this industry and beyond with real estate and everything else. So awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Jordan, I appreciate it. Hey, quick shout out to my partner, Roz, and to my wife, Amy. Love you. Sorry you couldn't be here.
Suckers. Just kidding. All right, man. Appreciate it. I'm not even going to ask and say, hopefully you enjoyed that. I know that you enjoyed that. I'm not even going to say, hopefully you got something good out of that episode, because I know you got something good out of that episode. Huge shout out to Joe for coming on the podcast sharing so much of what he's doing, how he's doing it, why he's doing it. All that stuff was so good. I'm just jazzed up after that interview. So listen, again, I'm going to say it. It will have been entertaining. It will have been insightful for you to listen to this podcast. But other than that, it will have been a waste of your time unless you start doing it yourself. All right. So pick something, put it into action, channel your inner Joe Ebanks and get out there and get after it and just make it happen. All right. So pick something.